All right. Well, we are we're taking a little time off from specific walk through a particular book of the Bible or section of Scripture, and are just kind of hanging out in the general area of church and taking it kind of week to week. And so tonight I want to go to Ephesians chapter 4. So if you want to open up to Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to be talking primarily about another, last week we talked about authority and submission, and just kind of in the overall structure of the church, one of the ways in which we walk wisely and understand the will of the Lord, as he talks about in chapter 5, is to submit to one another. And we do that out of reverence for Christ. And there are different types of relationships in which we submit, different ways in which we submit. And that all has to do with the way God structures the church. All right. But the church is not just a structure. Okay. The church is an organic grouping of people. All right. And so both aspects, the Scripture often calls the church the body of Christ. And when you think about the body, it's like a perfect blend of organic and structure, right? It's very systematic, right? When you study human anatomy, they take you through all the different systems, all right? At the same time, it's mysterious, and everyone is different. And so really, the body is the perfect metaphor. It's like God knew what he was doing when he inspired Scripture. It's like he knew what he was saying. So I wanted to talk about... again, we're heading toward ordaining Ben. We're kind of talking about the idea of eldership and the authority within the church, the governmental authority of the church. And here's how I got to Ephesians 4. Let me just take you through the journey of my thinking. I'm still planning on taking a thorough walk through the qualifications for elders in 1 Timothy and Titus. But I'm not there yet. We will get there. We're going to be there. But then I realized that when Paul was writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy, instructions for how to find qualified men to lead the community, he was writing to him at Ephesus. Right? Timothy was established at Ephesus. He was set up at Ephesus. So I was like, okay, that's always important to keep in mind, because what Paul was writing, the situation Paul was writing into was the one that we see described in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And so I was like, all right, yeah, this is important. We can't just talk about these leadership qualifications without really understanding the context in which God establishes leaders. So we're going to talk just a little bit about the foundational scripture for us, the essence of understanding what the church is, and the dynamic of the church, the overall dynamic of life in the body. All right, so I'm going to read, starting in chapter 4, and we'll probably read 16 verses here. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Father, thank you for this word. Lord, thank you for your scriptures. And I pray that you would anoint us as hearers of your word tonight, that we would have insight, that we would know you, and that your word would be deeply planted in our hearts, God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so coming off of last week, talking about authority and submission, which is kind of a crucial dynamic to understand, that when we follow Jesus, he calls us to, first of all, submit all of ourselves to him. All authority belongs to Jesus. But then one of the ways in which he trains us how to turn from our old life, which is fixated on our own wills, and to submit to God's will, is that he places us under authority. He also releases us into authority, which is another topic. But he places us under authority, and part of understanding and walking faithfully in the call that he's placed on our lives is, remember we talked about one of the definitions of submission was to acknowledge an external structure and to submit to one, submit to that. So Ephesians talks about later in the book, it's one of the books that is one of the letters that takes us through that external structure, that the most visible, tangible part of the church you find and the work that God does in the church is through parents and children, wives and husbands, slaves and masters. All right. And these are ways in which the people who have surrendered to Jesus become conformed into his image. But that's the very outside of it. Underneath all of that, and this is really what I want to talk about tonight, underneath all of that, remember our church vision, individual disciples given to one another in fellowship. Underneath the structure, this is what's happening. Underneath the hood, what we just read, this is what's going on. And what I want to highlight here is how central it is to understand grace. Grace. And I don't just mean the grace that we receive when Christ saves us. I mean the grace that is continually the active agent for anything that happens in the church and any kind of growth. So the word grace in Greek is charis, and the word gift, or when we talk about spiritual gifts, particularly in 1 Corinthians, those are called charismata, basically outward visible signs of actions of grace, okay? And if you put those glasses on here and look through this again, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Okay, that's the fundamental dynamic. It is Christ in and through everybody. Okay, this is his body after all, right? But then it says, but grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. So it's not just grace that gets us into the body, although that definitely happens. Grace doesn't just say, okay, you're in. Grace also says, now that you're in, we've got a lot of stuff to do. And we've been waiting for you. And Christ wants to pour himself out into you so that all these other people can experience him through your life. Okay, so God, so grace is not just from God to individuals. Grace is also from God to individuals, from God through individuals. That's what I meant to say. Okay? And Paul understands himself in this way. In chapter 3, he says, "For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you." The stewardship of God's grace. The stewardship is something that, you know, you are stewarding something that doesn't belong to you. You're protecting it and passing it on. And so he says, I understand myself, my relationship with you as a church, in terms of God's grace given to me for you. God's grace given to me for you. And I think I love the King James. It says, the grace is given to me, to you word. To you word. And so once we're in the body, it continues to be grace. And so in addition to this authority and submission and understanding, submitting ourselves to God's delegated authorities so that we can experience those aspects of God's authority through those particular people, that's a general principle, right? And it's not always authority and submission. Generally, we are to receive from God, receive grace from God, gifts from God, through every member. And this is a really important thing. We've got, when we look around, before we understand pretty much anything else about what God's doing here, what we need to understand is God is pouring out grace into each person's life, into my life. And he's pouring grace into my life to be given to everybody else. So another way of saying what I'm talking about is God's grace is not like an ethereal spiritual commodity that sort of floats from God to you, and it's grace. And it's this, God gives tangible gifts. And mostly what the way that God gives gifts to you is in the form of a human being. Right? How did God, I mean, God expresses his grace in many ways, but what is the ultimate expression of God's grace? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave a human being to us. And that's an important principle to understand. Grace is not an ethereal concept. Grace very often has flesh and bones and is sitting next to you. And so just like, I think the way these last week and this week are connected in my mind, just like we understand, we don't submit, as Paul says, we submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. We are looking for where Jesus is. And that's why we submit to one another. And so it doesn't matter if you're not perfect. It doesn't matter if you don't, you know, sometimes the gift, sometimes the packaging is a little damaged, right? Thanks, Amazon. Get it together. You know, sometimes it's a little jostled. But you would never take that package and go, what is this? And just throw it out. Oh, man, the package is a little damaged. But let's open it up. Let's see what's there. I mentioned this a little while ago when we were talking about fellowship, how we don't regard one another according to the flesh. All right? And so this whole idea of grace not just bringing us into the family of God, but grace being the continuing operating principle of everything that happens within the church. And it's all from Christ's gift of himself to us, right? And through that, our gift of whatever Christ is pouring out in us to one another. And so where we look around and we see the structure that God wants us to submit ourselves to, we do that out of reverence for Christ. But here's what I want to call us to do is look around, right? As he says, look carefully then as how you walk. Look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. So we want to look around and we want to submit where we need to submit. But I want to submit to you that we need to actively be receiving from one another, receiving the grace of God in and through one another, and also giving. All right. So authority and submission. I think the thing that's on my heart this week is giving and receiving. Giving and receiving. And I think this is actually a foundation for moving on to the more structural authority and submission stuff. Does that make sense? Because here's the thing. It says God gave, he ascended, he gave grace. But in verse 11 it says, and he gave the apostles and the prophets. Earlier it says that Christ has, that God placed everything under Christ's feet and gave him as head to the church. So we have, our head has been given to us. These equipping ministers are gifts. They're gifts. And so when Paul writes to Timothy and says, this is why I want you to stay at Ephesus, so that you can, you know, protect the doctrine. That's one big part. And also establish order, establish leadership. He's protecting doctrine and establishing leadership on top of this foundation of the grace of God. And it was a foundation of giving and receiving, so that when someone was, they laid hands on and ordained someone as an elder, the response isn't, all right, now we submit. Before that, I mean, there's a way, there's a proper way to do that. But before and underneath that, it's this, we receive this person as a gift. And we receive this leader as a gift. We receive his role in this body as a gift. God knows what we need, and he wants to meet our needs. And establishing leadership is just one of the millions of ways that God goes about meeting our needs through his generous gifts. And I think that's important. I think that's an important foundation for us to keep in front of us as we move ahead in this process. This whole passage is one of growth and maturity and progress, and it doesn't start with grace and then move on. It's grace is the active force in all of it, but it's not just a force, right? And this is what I'm saying: grace is tangible. Grace is always incarnated. And this is an aspect of the body life that I want us to keep in front of us, so that we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood. And then it talks about speaking the truth in love, so that we no longer be children tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. And then it says speaking the truth in love. What is this truth that we're speaking? This is who Jesus is. You are a gift. That's the kind of speaking of the truth in love that we need. Jesus has saved us. The life that we are called to is to look like Jesus, to be conformed to his image. This is who we are. This is what we speak to ourselves. We speak the truth in love. There's all kinds of crazy doctrines and human cunning and craftiness and deceitful schemes. And very often when we talk about church structure It can very quickly become scheming. And this has been a problem throughout church history. How should this thing be structured? How should this organic group of people, how should we structure this? And a lot of times, the way that it gets off track is it becomes more of a scheme than an organic, grace-driven, Jesus-led, Spirit-led organization. Rather than deceitful schemes, we speak the truth in love, and we grow up in every way into Him who is the head, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, at every point of contact, at every point of contact, and this is where the giving and receiving comes in, at every point of contact, with every joint, that's what it means, every place where any two points touch in the body, there is a mutuality, there is a flow of grace between those two people. There is Christ in you, Christ in me, being built together. Joined and held together by every joint, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. All right, so what do you do with a gift? What do you do with a gift? I mean, this is as simple as what do you do to authority? You submit. What do you do with a gift? There's two things that I want to call us to. The first one is receive. Right? If someone holds out a gift to you, you receive it. And the second thing is one that's right next to, it comes right before submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. It says, giving thanks always and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You receive a gift and you say thank you. You give thanks. Okay? And gratitude and thankfulness, I think that that article by Henry Nouwen talks about celebration, right? We move to a point of being able to celebrate one another. That's really what this is. Thank you. Thank you, not for that person necessarily, but thank you, Jesus, for your gift in and through this person. First of all, thank you for the gift of this person. But again, it's not the person, it's Christ in the person. Just like we submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, I think we receive and we thank God for one another out of reverence and acknowledgement of how He builds us together as a church. Amen? So this is the community that Paul's writing to, that Paul left Timothy in. And this is the one where he says, hey, listen, look around. And if you see anyone who seems to be really getting it and who's been getting it for a while, who's doing really well with this stuff, who understands how to basically give themselves as a gift to the community, to their families, to their, and be who God's called them to be and be His representative in those areas, yes, give them some authority. Give them the power to, not to control people's lives, but the power to continue to call people to be who the body is called to be. And that's really what an elder does. An elder can protect. An elder is called to protect against those deceitful schemes. Nope, this is a scheme. Let's keep it with the Holy Spirit. Let's keep it with Scripture. Let's not build this out farther and more in more detail than God wants us to. At the end of chapter 1, it says, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet. This is authority and submission language. And gave him as head over all things to the church. So these two things, I think they go hand in hand. That we are ultimately just recipients of God's grace. And that's it. That's the basis of the whole dynamic of the church is one of grace, of giving and receiving. This isn't like contractual quid pro quo, right? This is grace. This is free, generous giving. And because it's free and generous, all you do is receive, right? You don't try and pay back. You don't try and earn, right? This is God giving himself to us through one another. All right, so I want to go one more place and kind of look at this and go to 1 Corinthians 12. And after that, we're just going to come to the table. In the wrong direction. All right, 1 Corinthians 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Okay? I think sometimes we pigeonhole this chapter. It's the spiritual gifts chapter. And we kind of blaze through that, the first part there, and just go into like the list, right? But what Paul's doing here is he's giving us this, again, this under the hood glimpse into the way the body works. Okay, we're not just he gives us a list of some manifestations of the gifts, but he's telling us how the Spirit works, how the Spirit works within the body. There are variety. This is how Paul, when in Ephesians, he says, "To grace is given to each, according to the grace was given to each one according to the measure of Christ's gift." There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And that gifts there is charismata. There are varieties of tangible graces, is the way you could say it. And there are varieties of service. Okay, so that's not a spiritual gift. There's a variety of service. That's diakonia. That's literal servanthood. Like this is just could be the most menial task. There's lots of stuff that people can do to serve. There's lots of different ways that they can minister these spiritual graces to one another. And there are varieties of activities. That's energies. That's the word, the energy. That's not a perfect translation, but activity, effects. But it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Now, listen to that. Grace by the Spirit, ministries or services by the Lord, and activities or effects, energies by the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Now, some people point to kind of a Trinitarian structure there. That it's the gifts that are empowered by the Spirit, and it's services. The Lord would be Jesus here, you know. It's Jesus who drives us into these serving, right? That would make sense. The Lord And what you do with the Lord is you serve the Lord. And then activities. But it's God who empowers them all in everyone. Okay, and this is happening. This power is within the body. Now that's what the Spirit's doing. Pouring out varieties of gifts. Driving us into varieties of service. And empowering varieties of activities. And so what I want you to see there is that that encompasses basically anything that you would do. Right? It doesn't have to be one of the lists that he talks about. Okay? I would say that there are probably infinite ways in which God gives gifts to us through one another. I think just being you is a gift. Being here is a gift from God. Okay? And we start there. And then we can know one another more and more. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit, the outward working of it, the tangible nature of it, for the common good. Everybody is given manifestations of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. Now, I don't want to confuse you here, but it's not certain who's giving and who's receiving here. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. Does that mean they gave the word or they received the word? To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. We tend to focus on being the deliverer of those gifts. And we focus less on, hey, within the body, there are gifts of healing. Where are they? I need some healing. Right? This word of wisdom. Maybe I'm not the word of wisdom guy, but God gives the word of wisdom to the body. We can tend to try and search for these things in ourselves, but God's not saying these might be in you. He's saying, hey, the body, all this stuff is at work in the body. Let's go make ourselves available. Let's go find it. Maybe you need to receive it. Maybe you need to give it. But the point is, this is going on. And there is a giving and receiving of these things that happens. To another, gifts of healing, the working of miracles, the prophecy, ability to distinguish. All these, he says, are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. The Spirit is driving this. Okay, we don't control it. And it's not our will that apportions it. It's the will of the Spirit. And so when we pray and when we discern one another, what we're trying to do is discover how have you put this together? Where are you pouring out? What kinds of things are you pouring out among us? And it's a process of, I think, just looking around and praying and discerning and prayerfully considering one another, and also prayerfully offering ourselves, availing ourselves and receiving. Say, God, do I need to be giving a gift? What have you given me? How can I give a gift? So then he goes through and he talks about how you can't get distracted by the diversity of this stuff. It's vastly different person to person, right? And so you can't get into the attitude of saying, because I don't look like this, I'm not needed, right? That's one attitude. He says, no, you can't think about that. And then he says, but you can't also say, I don't need you because you don't look like the kind of stuff that I'm familiar with, or the kind of stuff, the kind of gifts that, you know, this is where the ear and the eye. He says, if you, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body. That would not make it any less a part of the body. So this is the thing. It's like you don't become someone who has a spiritual gift. You're part of the body. You have a spirit. You have probably many gifts, right? So these things aren't concocted within us. They're discovered and they're revealed. If you are a part of the body, you are gifted spiritually to the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing? The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. So you can't say the two things he says. You can't say I'm not needed, and you can't say I don't need you. Now, this is a great way to describe the opposite of what it just described, of receiving and thanking. Right? Being receptive, looking for Christ in one another, looking for the Spirit in one another. And this is pretty cool because a lot of times people don't see themselves very clearly. But the people around us can see us. And one way in which we can really receive is say, hey, when you said that, that was real wisdom from God. Oh. That's why I think that the recipient of the gift is just as important as the giver. And the conversation between those two. Hey, when you just, I feel helped. For what, you are so helpful. You are a help in my life. I feel that, you know, you are a source of mercy. You know, I'm pulling from all the lists of spiritual gifts. But the point I want to say is that this receiving is an active thing. You know? Everybody within them has a closet full of gifts. And sometimes we got to go, you know, hey, what's this closet? You know, walk into the house. What's in here? I don't know. I don't like to open that. There's a lot of ears in there. And I wish it was eyes. No, we need ears. Open the door. Let's give these gifts. Let's receive them. Where? God has, verse 18. As it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. So it's on my heart to call us to not just consider receiving Ben as an elder of the church, but to say, man, we need an elder. We need a lot of other stuff too. And God has given it to us. God, when we ask, when we have needs, God provides for our needs. He is a good father. I mean, Jesus talks about how good of a gift giver the Father is. And how he understands the needs of his children. All right. And so maybe it's the Christmas music that's getting me in this mood. I don't know. Maybe it's this table full of literally gifts that just appeared here tonight, unbeknownst to me. That's who we are right there. All right. I don't know what's in there. It'd be fun to open it up and figure it out. You know, but we're not going to because those belong to some other children. Tried to explain it to our kids. They didn't understand what that was. All right. So giving and receiving. That's you are a gift. The way that God pours out his grace is through people. When we have a need in this body, God will place some form of grace that meets that need in one or a few of us. The Spirit does that. And we can ignore that or we can receive it. People ignore God's grace all the time. Or they think that they box it, they don't actively receive it. But you got to actively receive God's grace and then thank him for it. Oh, thank you. I am so thankful that there is each type of person. I'm so thankful for every person in this church. And I want to grow, and I want to see all of us grow in really seeing ourselves in that way. I've been given. I am a gift. It's weird to think about for some of us. I'm a gift. And you are a gift. So that attitude of giving and thankfulness is, I think, the step, the gateway to really unwrapping these gifts in one another. To assume, to know, doesn't matter what it looks like, you have gifts. And I want you to discover those, and I want to discover those, and I want to partake of those. It's good things. God has a lot of good things for us in one another. Amen? So before we go on, and we'll talk about qualifications for elders. I just want to celebrate and call us to celebrate one another, call us to see each other in that way, to see ourselves in that way. And listen, it doesn't matter if you feel useful. Again, Paul addresses that immediately. He says, hey, there's all kinds of gifts. But let me tell you, if you are an eye, or if you're an ear and you say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that doesn't matter. You're part of the body. You are part of the body. God doesn't make mistakes. God's not haphazard in the way that he does this. Every person here, for walking in the Spirit, has a spiritual gift to pour out. And don't get distracted by the list, right? Well, I don't know if I'm this or this or this. Be who you are. It's a variety of gifts, a variety of ministries, a variety of activities. And it's like Paul would say, does that about cover all the different words for just being together? Gifts, ministries, activities. It's all a variety. And God is the orchestrator of it all. And he's masterful at what he does. All right. So let's prepare our hearts. We'll come to the table. And we're acknowledging when we come to the table that it is him, one Lord in us. And we partake of one loaf and one cup as a weekly reminder that this is, we are all, there is one, and that unity, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And that grace is given to each. What a beautiful symbol for exactly what Paul reveals to us in these letters. That we are one and that we are each. And the way that we maintain the unity is to really seek Christ in one another and to speak truth to that end. All right, let's pray. Father, I pray that this truth would penetrate our hearts, that it would really change our lives. Lord, that what I am convinced is a powerful source of life in the earth, but really lack the ability to communicate clearly. Lord, would you communicate it by the Spirit to us right now? The things that Paul was getting at and all the various metaphors that he had to draw on to try and communicate this thing. Lord, I pray that we would see it and hear it on a deep level, that we would see one another in this light. And Lord, as we come to your table, Lord, we say that we come humbly. We come acknowledging that this is a meal of grace, that this is not a deserved position of honor for any reason. But Lord, because of your great love, you have invited us to your table. And so we come in full humility and full repentance to this table, Lord. We want to continue to turn away from our sin in our lives. We want to continue to turn our hearts toward one another in this unity, and this receiving and this gratitude that you call us to in your body. And Lord, I pray that as we come, that your grace would be given to each one of us as you see fit. And just this powerful image, this powerful act that we do here in partaking of the same loaf and drinking from the same cup, but it's you in each of us, Lord, that would just come to life tonight in our time of communion. In Jesus' name, amen.